Welcome to Our Interesting Times with host Timothy Kelly, who interviews today's top alternative and revisionist thinkers.
May you live in interesting times.
Welcome to another episode of Our Interesting Times. My guest this evening is Joe Atwell. Joe is a researcher and independent scholar. He's the author of Shakespeare's Secret Messiah and Caesar's Messiah, the Roman Conspiracy to Invent Jesus. His website is postflaviana.org. Joe also co-hosts the Secret Society Revealed, a weekly podcast that is carried on the Revolution Radio Network. Joe, how are you doing this evening?
Just great. How are you doing, Tim?
Very well, thank you. Very well. Thanks for coming back on the show.
It's my pleasure. Always happy to come and chat with you.
Great, thank you. And of course, a number of issues, but of course, we've had this. I guess past couple weeks, this so-called Pizzagate scandal regarding. I guess it derived from these emails and Instagrams that were leaked or noticed regarding John Podesta's brother Tony, and it seemed to suggest that they were involved in some sort of elite pedophile operation in Washington, D.C. regarding this place, Comet Ping Pong Pizza. Very disturbing photos and also the strange emails with the cryptic language, code words that some people seem to think that it's words that are codes that are often used by pedophiles. And also maybe discuss how this, of course, reveals the synarchy or secret society or criminal syndicates that really run the show, and how this maybe perhaps what is the incoming Trump presidency have to do with this, or what are we to expect? So, what caught your attention regarding this scandal? What do you make of it?
Well, I mean, the first thing that I saw basically was a context that suggested pedophilia. And basically, this was the circle of associates that swirled around Hillary Clinton. Jeffrey Epstein, who had been convicted of pedophilia, was running a Lolita Island, which is there's been many accusations in addition to his conviction. There have been many accusations concerning this island.
This is Little St. James, I think.
Yeah, Little St. James. And Bill and Hillary were on the roster of individuals who had been there. And so that was, troubling. Hillary's aide, her lead person in almost all things, her husband, Weiner, was caught trafficking emails with an underage girl. And then you had the strange revelation in the Podesta emails concerning Laura Silsby, again, a convicted trafficker in children. She had been caught trying to smuggle 33 kids out of Haiti. Notice the odd number. And the emails revealed that Hillary was basically being apprised of almost all of the activity concerning her incarceration and the trial. Very unusual. And then when the thing broke, the first thing I became aware of was the spirit dinner business, which is a is a ritual that comes from Aleister Crowley. Basically, spirit cooking is it's a modern version of the cake of light, and I hope your listeners are not familiar with Crowley's activity, but just in brief, it's a Luciferian ritual where magic is created by the eating of weird stuff, including stuff that comes from the human body. Won't go into it, the details, but anyway, this woman, Maria Abramovich, is famous for more than 20 years for having these events, and she does them as performance art. So, you know, there is this context of art, but then she has admitted that in private they become rituals. So the emails suggested that the Podesta brothers meet with her, and they knew her on a first name basis, so they had a, you know, close relationship. And so they would have one of these dinners, where a private dinner where the spirit cooking would be a ritual. I mean, this is actually right in the verbiage of the emails and her own statements. And then there is this individual who performs at the site that had become the focus of Pizzagate, this restaurant called Comet Pizza. And there's an individual who performs there who goes by the name of Majestic Ape. Though evidently it's a woman, she comes across as a tranny to me when I listen to her speak. But in any case,
yeah, I it's kind of funny. When I first saw the video, I thought it was just an effeminate male affecting a voice.
Exactly. Yeah, and I think that might be the case. But who knows? She wears a ski mask and a blonde wig. Mm-hmm. But in one of the videos someone had shot, she actually promotes pedophilia. Someone calls out about she's talking in this very creepy language about how this dark world that they're all living in and what goes on there. And someone calls out, little boys. And then someone calls out children. And then Majestic Ape has this demonic laugh and says, well, we all have our preferences. Right? Very clear promotion of pedophilia. And then there's the photos. I'd seen all of that material, and then I'm not sure which of the sites I actually went to look further. May have been Reddit, which has been, it's the thread has been subsequently censored. We'll get into that. But at that time, you could see the Instagram photos of the owner, James Alefantes, who was an individual who was actually in the email exchange, very friendly with the Podesta brothers, having this kind of conversation with them about pizza. He was an enormous powerhouse in the Democratic Party. He was the boyfriend of David Brock, the bizarre gay Republican turncoat who had become a Clinton supporter. And he had been listed as the 49th most powerful person in Washington, D.C. by GQ magazine. Notice the 7x7, designation, very unusual and perhaps portentous. But anyway, so he had all these photos, which were, without any equivocation, were promotion of pedophilia. There was a picture of a young girl, maybe 2 or 3 years old, taped. Her arms were taped to a table. Directly in back of her was an adult male. There were pictures of, one picture of a baby that was described as a hotard. It's a urban slang for a retarded prostitute. The baby was a hotard. There was a picture of an infant, underneath it there was a sign saying German baby for sale, $1,200, do not touch. It was a very lifelike doll. Evidently, people are saying that it wasn't an actual infant, but nevertheless, it's pedophilic art. And I won't even go on to the rest, but there was just a dozen of these things, which, we're all basically, suggesting that that it was a collection of a pedophile. And then I noticed that I was curious about, they had an ancient statue, which was Elephantis's Instagram representation. You know, you can put an icon up to represent you in the front page of the Instagram. And it was someone from antiquity, a statue, and I was wondering about it, and then someone did the research, and sure enough, it was Antonis, the boy lover of Hadrian, and he would be the most famous historical example of pedophilia in history. So the collection was grim, right? All of these things kind of made a very clear case that, in fact, I thought that the case was strong enough that basically you could just, with just this, with the context of the individuals, with the photo collection, with the statements by Majestic 8 performing there, promoting pedophilia. I mean, I would say in a sane society, you've got a case. You just take this to trial.
Yeah, you just submit the evidence to the police. They take it to the district attorney and get a warrant, collect the evidence. And, of course, no such action has been taken.
Nothing. In fact, oddly, the CNN just earlier this evening ran an article on it, and they just said it's a conspiracy theory woven together, of a chain of lies.
But they don't address the Instagrams or the text of the emails.
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. They just say it. They are just taking the position that if we say it's a lie, it's a lie. I mean, it's just the expression gaslighting comes to mind. I mean, they're just basically denying reality and expecting the power of their media to just overwhelm the viewer and then just accept whatever they tell you.
Well, how do they advertise as a family restaurant with the artwork they have displayed at this place?
Well, the artwork is something separate, and hadn't got into it. The artwork is almost just bizarre, and in the context of all of these pedophilic elements that I've presented, it just adds to that that understanding. The artwork, and again, it's just some of the stuff is too grim to even talk about in a show like this, but it would be under no circumstances something that you would take a child to look at, right? Under no circumstances. And of course, there's obscenity written in the bathroom. Mm-hmm. These were all photographed. So you've got what's being advertised as a family-friendly pizza restaurant, just basically a den of iniquity that is basically very proud of itself. It's proud of the sexual deprivation, that it's representing. And this is a place that the DNC was holding fundraisers.
Yes. And I just read, according to the SGT report, that a while back, Terrence Patrick Bean was a Democratic fundraiser in Bundler and had met with the president, actually ridden on Air Force One, and he was arrested in Oregon for pedophilia.
Right. Well, I don't know.
He also was a noted gay rights activist.
Right. And of course, wired high up into the Democratic Party. If you look at there's a couple sites. I'll give the link to you, the one that I think is very well organized. If you look at the collection of people inside the political class, and they're not just Democrats. There's also Republicans, though the majority of them are Democrats.
Well, in this particular it seems to be a Democratic or circle.
The particular one we're looking at is a Democratic circle.
But we all know with Franklin scandal that this is a bipartisan or
exactly.
Non-partisan.
And that's my point. It's just that there's so much of it that's basically transcends both political parties that the idea is it controls them both.
Yeah, it's a democratic coven.
yeah, exactly right. Yeah. Exactly right. And so what we have with Pizzagate is a portal for the citizen to look into and see really what's inside of the political class. I mean, this is what you get, and it's very illuminating, to use an expression, to look at the artwork, for example, that Tony Podesta has, or James Podesta, John Podesta. I mean, John Podesta has in his office a painting of cannibalism, right? Just very clear representation of it.
He's quoted as saying, "I'd certainly rather be the people eating the man on the table."
The one standing rather than the one
on the table.
Right, because he's the one who's eating. But, you know, yeah. See, this is extremely troubling in the context of him being on a first-name basis with Marina Abramović, who produces spirit cooking dinners, which are based – and again, this is – you know, there are articles that reference this that go back as far as 1999. So this isn't a, you know, after the fact attempt to, you know, to connect her into Crowley. I mean, it has been public knowledge, has been written about, and actually it's just kind of a little titillation of how clever she is as an artist, that basically that the spirit cooking events that she puts on as performance art are based on the cake of light that Crowley had described, which was, a sacrificial dinner, basically a sex magic kind of thing. And the language is a little cryptic, but not that cryptic. And you have the idea of eating human, you know, flesh and blood and things like this, and a sacrifice of an individual. Those are all just very coherent reading of Crowley's text. So then when you get to John Podesta's cannibalism art, I mean, an alert citizen would wonder, well, what is the mental state of the individual who is in back of all of these events? And remember that John Podesta couldn't be more powerful politically. When Hillary Clinton was incapacitated on election night and couldn't come at the appropriate time to make a concession speech, Podesta is the one who came to the podium.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. So we think of people like Podesta as playing, they're the practitioners of politics, they're the realists. They got, you know, they're 2 feet firmly planted in the ground, they're taking decisions. You don't think of them, it's disturbing to think that they'd be involved and something so so marginal, so out of the mainstream, and so bizarre and so perverted,
you know? Right? Because you know, when you get something like this, you basically have to just start from scratch in terms of any kind of trust or belief that you understand the individual.
Mm-hmm.
And Marina was referenced by on a first name basis by the Podestas in the email exchange. And in another exchange, they talk about Marina, and describe her whereabouts to Hillary, right? So when you see this, you have to wonder, well, gee, what really is the real theologic understanding that these people have? Because I can just guarantee you, Tim, that a normal kind of, you know, disillusioned Christian that, you know, Podesta and Hillary represented the public, I mean, those kinds of people don't go to spirit cooking dinners.
Right? Yeah, not regularly or not generally.
No, it just doesn't happen, you see. So just the whole idea that you have an understanding of the individual just goes out the window. See, this is why it's so important, the Pizzagate thing is so important, and why it won't go away, because you have just so much actual revelation. If you never have the ability to convict Hillary for, you know, sex trafficking or elephantism, it's almost irrelevant, because what you absolutely have is a portal into the real, the theological perspective that they have in private, and it is completely different than the one that's represented to the public. So that's the real importance of Pizzagate, is that it just shows the public that the political class is a secret society. It is secret. We do not know what their real theological or political perspective is. That we know what they say to us, we know what the media represents, but this is a portal into what's real. And I would hope that your listeners like look at the, besides going to you know, the emails and simply reading how bizarre the descriptions are, that to put the Podestas and the people that they're communicating with that are all high up in the DNC. But look at the videotapes of this individual, Majestic 8, who is a performer at Comet Pizza. Because, you know, without the context of the DNC and the relationship between the Podestas and Alfontes and Maria Abramovich, you know, on a first-name basis with them and Hillary, you know, you might think, well, this is just the performance of a degenerate. But unfortunately, the citizen really can't make that leap at this point. You have to be wary that this could, you could be actually listening to the real theologic and political perspective of the ruling class. And so that's why the Pizzagate thing is so important, and citizens should really spend time with it and go over, you know, the different emails, because it is from, you know, the perspective that I've been giving, that you come to look at the email exchanges. And, you know, people have said, well, gee, they are a little strange. They really don't make much sense, but really, who knows? Who's to say what they could be? You know, what really is in back of all this? Because they're cryptic, you see. In other words, one of them talks about dreaming about your hot dog stand in Hawaii. Well, you know, it's an incoherent statement because Hawaii has no hot dog stands. Why would someone be dreaming about it? Well, you know, hot dog is a word that is used by pedophiles. And you see, so this is what then happened is that when the Podesta emails were released, people started to review them, and they found a chain of them, you know, that were all related to food that seemed to make absolutely no sense. And so then they tried to make, to create an interpretive framework. And someone noticed that, well, some of these words are basically on the FBI code words for pedophiles. And what the FBI has done, it's public, people can go and check this, is they gave a statement that was basically created for their agents, which said that pedophiles will use code words in order to describe the act, because they know that, you know, if they overtly talk about having sex with underage children, it's a crime. So they will talk in code. And, you know, one of the code words is cheese pizza. CP stands for child porn. And so since the incoherencies in the Podesta emails were so often related to pizza, then people started to plug in as an interpretive framework that this is, they're basically talking about child pornography here, or child, or sex with children. Then another person noticed that there were a number of pizza parlors and businesses that were all directly next to Comet Pizza, and that some of them had symbols on them, which were on this FBI list of pedophile symbols. In other words, that pedophiles would use symbols. One of them was a triangle, Masonic concept, that had a large triangle with a maze that would create a smaller triangle inside. In other words, big and little. And a very specific symbol, and the FBI referenced it among just a few symbols that would that were determined pedophilic representation, and it was on the logo of Besta Pizza. Besta is Portuguese for beast. And then when the scandal broke, they removed the symbol. They changed it.
Crowley referred to himself as the beast, correct?
Yeah, exactly right. Mm-hmm. And so it's you can see that, you know, there is just a lot of evidence and suspicious events that are kind of all swirling around. And then the emails, one of them references that Obama paid $65,000 to fly in hot dogs and pizza from Chicago. Again, makes no sense. First of all, the White House cannot ever have food brought in. It's basically against the law. Also, $65,000 for hot dogs and pizza seems a bit steep. Makes no sense. However, if pizza and hot dogs are used with the pedophilic language, then it makes perfect sense. Another one, you know, this person says, you know, do you think I'll do better playing dominoes on cheese than on pasta?
Mm-hmm.
Pasta is a word that can be used to describe a little boy. And of course, playing dominoes is not something you would ever do on cheese or on pasta. So the idea that they made more sense, that the interpretive framework that they were actually talking about pedophilia suddenly became an interpretive framework, and then you started to have all of the emails looked at in this way, and the next thing you knew that they were basically saying that, look, we have come across a whole network of child trafficking that is centered, evidently, you know, in the DNC. It is centered in, it's using this comic pizza as one of its points of activity, and that they have all of these individuals have a kind of code that enables them to talk among themselves and schedule meetings and things. And of course, you know, how different is this really, in fact, than, you know, as, for example, the Catholic Church pedophilic, tragedy. So it isn't something that's really that far out of the ordinary. One of the emails I found quite interesting and actually did just a bit of thinking about. It was to Susan and Herb Sandler. And they went on and with this information I'll talk about, then Susan communicated to John Podesta. And what happened was is that the Sandlers, now these are Jewish oligarchs, Herb Sandler owned Golden West. It was the banking entity that came up with the alt mortgage, which then led to the financial crisis. You know, the front-loading, back-loading the payments. Well, that was his idea. He got out before the disaster. Very clever of him. Business sold for $24 billion. Bunch of it he got. So he and his daughter were renting a house on Martha's Vineyard. And the realtor sent an email. And she said, Susan and Herb, I just came from checking the field house and I have a square cloth handkerchief, white with black, that was left on the kitchen island. Happy to send it via the mail if you let me know where I should send it. Now, the same day, then Susan Sandler sent an email to John Podesta and she said, the realtor found a handkerchief. And she says, I think it has a map that seems pizza related. Is it yours? She misspelled yours. They can send it if you want. I know you're busy, so feel free not to respond if it's not yours or if you don't want it. So people have wondered about this, and they go, well, what is a map that is pizza related? I mean, it is literally a non sequitur, right? Makes no sense. I mean, maybe you could have a map that was about pizza parlors, but you wouldn't put that on a handkerchief. I've heard one attempt to decode it, which claimed that basically the handkerchief had been used as a napkin and that pizza stains had gotten on it. So it was pizza related. Now, this just doesn't pass the sniff test of coherency because a handkerchief would not be used as a napkin by fancy people like the Podestas. And that the idea that a stained handkerchief with pizza sauce would be called a map is also straining, you know, coherency. And so,
and also just the prevalence of pizza. I can't, exactly.
Pizza. But then moreover, you see, the thing is that the email from Susan to John Podesta went out just hours after the realtor had sent the original email to Susan and Herb.
Yeah.
And so presumably Susan must get the information that she's passing on to John from the email, but the email only says, I have a square cloth handkerchief, white with black, that was left in the kitchen island. There's no mention of stains or of pizza or of maps. So that interpretive framework is simply a non-starter. I'm going to suggest one. If you want to look up a white and black square cloth handkerchief, what you're really talking about are Masonic handkerchiefs. Simply Google Masonic handkerchiefs and you'll see that they're very common and they have white and black squares, right? So she wrote, I have a square cloth handkerchief, white with black, that was left on the island. She knows it's important. The realtor knows there's something about it that is unusual. If it was just a cheap piece of cloth, she wouldn't be writing to important people, you know, like the billionaire Herb and Susan Sandler, but she is. She sees there's something important about it. Now, Susan then knows that there is something about it that's important, and she goes to John Podesta. Now, this means that Podesta was at the house doing something, right? This secluded house on Martha's Vineyard. Now, she says, I think it has a map on it that seems pizza-related. Now, what I suspect it is, when she says it's a map, she's talking about a seating map for a Masonic ritual. And that pizza-related is, she is simply aware of the code word. You know, if you look at, like, Eyes Wide Shut, you can see the structure of the sex orgy, that the Masonic, you know, way that that's all laid out, you know, remember, out of chaos order. So this is what she's found. This is what Susan thinks that it is. The only thing that she could possibly make sense in what she's saying is in fact what I'm describing. There's no other really way to get to the idea that a square black and white handkerchief would have a map and that it could possibly be pizza related. So what I think is, okay, is that Susan knew that Podesta was there. She knew what went on at these Masonic activities, and she was not certain as to whether or not there was evidence or some kind of information on it, because she hasn't talked to the realtor. The realtor has just told her about this weird black and white checkered handkerchief. And so then she says, she goes on to John and she says, you know, the realtor found a handkerchief. I think it has a map that seems pizza related. So that's what I would guess, is that you have, you know, a Masonic ritual, since it's pizza related. And I do think that the use of pizza as a child sexual pornography or sexual activity is correct. That was what the focus of the ritual was. And And so then she passed on this this weird email to Podesta, which then got released to the public. So, you know, if you look at a statement that Andrew Breitbart made, another interesting point of context, Breitbart put out a tweet where he said that he just couldn't believe that Podesta was not a household word for running a child trafficking sex orgy, you know, apparatus. I'm not quoting correctly, but that's exactly what Breitbart said. Now, you know, this was long before any of the emails came out. And, you know, you'd think, well, he may be talking about the Jeffrey Epstein situation, but Podesta wasn't linked to Epstein. So Breitbart, who was a Washington insider, right, someone who actually knew a lot of the individuals that are, you know, inside the world of Hillary Clinton, when he made the statement, he was referring to evidence that is off the table, right? I mean, this was a public tweet, and he was directly accusing Podesta of running a child sex trafficking ring.
There was no attention given to this.
None whatsoever. And then Breitbart had the mysterious death shortly thereafter, followed by the mysterious death of the physician who did the autopsy.
That's right. He dropped of a heart attack.
They were dropping like flies.
Age 43 or something.
Yeah, right, just dropping like flies. So that if you look at the context and you look at Breitbart's statement of coming from evidence that is off the table, evidence we don't know about. But it's clear it's a declarative statement, which, if it was untrue or if he couldn't support, would have just absolute horrendous slander lawsuit power. I mean, it would have wiped Breitbart right off the map if he couldn't back it up. But he made it a public statement,
which you would think someone like Podesta and the Democratic Party would have a lot of interest in doing, if it was a, you know, baseless statement. You know, and right. Someone and Breitbart.
Even if there was a basis for it, but Breitbart couldn't prove it, that would be sufficient to go after him, because this is his. I mean, obviously, it's such a heinous charge that it has to be responded to. But there was silence. All there was Breitbart's death. So this is the context. You see, this accusation that Breitbart made about Podesta, that you want to look at this mysterious email in.
And then the question is, why would Breitbart just drop that, lay that out there, then not use his resources and his media company to investigate it?
Well, exactly right. I think that when he laid, you know, when you do A in logic, you'll have to follow with B. And having done A, I think he was goading Podesta. And I do think he would have come out with whatever evidence he had, regardless of what Podesta chose to do. But the response was not to engage his statement, but rather to get rid of him.
At least
that's how I see it.
Now, what's the time frame on, you know, the timeline on that tweet and Breitbart's death?
I don't.
No, okay, that'd be interesting. But you know, but it is interesting. He'd get lit. It could be that he and Breitbart was naive, or he himself didn't know the forces he was taking on when he made that accusation. Like he just thought Podesta is a pervert, but
right.
he didn't realize he was taking on the secret society, the synarchy, because when you pry these things open, you start investigating these things, and you pry them open, you open up a whole can of worms, and you step on toes you not even know you're stepping on, and then, you know, maybe he was told to back off or something,
right? You know? And you see it's again. Without having the evidence that was off, that is not on the table, you know, to analyze, we can only speculate. Mm-hmm. But we do have the statement. The statement is not, you know, equivocating in any way, and it does provide a context.
So Breitbart accused John Podesta of running a child trafficking ring.
Exactly. That's right.
By definition, pedophilia, whether he's engaged in the acts himself or he's facilitating others.
Yes.
And the silence is deafening. There's no reaction.
Exactly right. But whatever, it is a context. In other words, you can't look at the statement concerning pizza that Susan Sandler makes to Podesta without wondering if the incoherency can be resolved by simply the evidence that Breitbart had to support the statement he made. In other words, it's, you know, I mean,
if this was anybody else, people would be very quick to suspect that there's pedophilia here.
Of course, there would have
because
been
they're powerful people. People are like, oh, that's just baseless. That's crazy. What, exactly. because they're powerful.
Yeah, well, they control the media.
Yeah,
I mean, the media, like CNN, did a a show on Pizzagate, or not a show, but they covered the gunman who had come into the restaurant Comet Pizza yesterday, and then they just said, well, he had been driven crazy by this false conspiracy theory.
Yeah, the BBC had a headline about Pizzagate. It said, "The saga of Pizzagate, the fake story that shows how conspiracy theories spread." Now, yeah. BBC of all institutions, by the way, known as an institution that covers up pedophilia.
Right.
Take that for what it's worth.
Well, I mean, exactly. And, you know, it's at a certain point, the public really needs to recognize that this tragic epidemic of missing children and coupled with the chronic inability of the government to effectively prosecute pedophile rings when they're uncovered is related. In other words, one of the buildings that is next to Comet Pizza, and I believe it's one that actually had a symbol that had been recognized as a pedophile symbol by the FBI, but I'm not positive about that. I have to check it. But it was one of the basically child protective service entities that that had been created and was being supported by the Clintons.
But this is Beyond Borders or something?
Yeah, I think it was Beyond Borders, yeah.
Yeah.
And, okay, so, you know, when you have, statement like Breitbart's, when you have Jeffrey Epstein's conviction, when you have Anthony Weiner's outing as a pedophile, when you have the emails of convicted child trafficker Laura Silsby showing up in the Podesta emails, you really have to put a new kind of scrutiny on these agencies that what can be honestly and accurately described as a circle of pedophilia have control over, because there is the concern that basically the organizations are fronts and the children are simply being harvested and used as objects of pedophiles. So that's not something that, you have evidence of at this point, but it is a real concern. It's something that, the citizens should be demanding. And this also goes to the child protective services, the new laws that Bill Clinton created, which there's a very heroic state legislature, and I forget her name. It may have been Peterson. Perhaps you know it, but she died in this strange murder by her husband. And,
yes, I remember that. Yeah.
Okay. Well, she accused these services of basically, taking the kids and then using them, through court order, separating the child from the parents. And then the kids were then basically used, and there was money involved, and the children would end up. And she had tracked, these kids being sent to pedophiles. And so she attempted to alert the public, just like Breitbart did, and notice the parallelism, and they both end up dead. So, the natural explanation is that the bizarre murders of these individuals are, in Breitbart's case, it's a heart attack at an odd age.
I remember, she just passed away recently, but Janet Reno also had some allegations levied against her.
Sure.
When she was a Broward County prosecutor.
Yep. So and I think that, if you need to put that in the context of all of the people inside the DNC and all of the people inside of government that have been convicted. You don't need to to you know, go to speculation. You can just say, look, this is a, it is a problem inside our government. There are simply too many convictions to overlook. It's basically an epidemic of the kind that infested the Catholic Church in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. And then you couple that with the complete chaos in the statistics concerning abducted and missing children, that the FBI doesn't have a clue as to how many are actually missing at any one time. You know, it's a really grim situation. It's something that the citizen really has to rise up and respond to, because, you know, the most natural concern that comes out of all of these facts is that there is a relationship between the pedophiles' control over government and the missing children.
And the way that secret societies operate, particularly Freemasonry, is, well, they infiltrate and they subvert these institutions and put them, put these institutions for their own use.
Right.
And this is how, you know, they can promote from within. This is the important function of the, of, you know, the degree system within Freemasonry, the rings within rings, and how you can subvert and suborn an institution and have it, from all appearances, look legitimate from the outside, but have it completely rotten from the inside.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that's the problem. And of course, you know, one of the ways that the political power of pedophilia spreads out is that it's used as blackmail.
Which would explain why maybe Mr. Elefantis is so influential.
Yeah, why he's the 49th,
yeah,
the seventh son, I mean, of the seventh son. You know, he's, if he is that kind of a ringleader, then that would explain why, you know, a pizza owner, pizza store owner, somehow would give him, would be given this incredible accolade.
I mean, that's a common thread, because we saw that with the Franken, those who have looked in the Franken scandal, that there were, it was a, much behind it was a blackmail operation going down. The same with the DC madam, the Janet Palfrey. She got into trouble when she stopped doing her escort service. That's when the FBI cracked down on it, because the FBI was using it as blackmail and intelligence. At least that's what the evidence suggests. You also have, was it Henry Vincent's book, DC Madam, running a gay escort service. He was recruited by Craig Spence, who links to the Franklin scandal. He's the one that was running a mansion in D.C. that would hold parties, that was wired for audiovisual, and used as a blackmail operation.
Right.
Yeah. So, right. And that's how someone like, you know, like Denny, people forget that Denny Hastert, who was fourth in line to the presidency of the United States, was exposed as a pedophile, although he didn't go to prison for it. His financial problem, the structuring, revealed that he was paying off past victims of his predations. But ever since he was a high school wrestling coach back in Chicago, he was kind of a suspected pedophile. Yet he had this, you know, this meteoric political rise. And part of the reason why for his political success was the fact he was compromised, perhaps, right?
That's how the system works. That'd be how I would understand it, is that the secret society found him. They knew they had him as basically a political slave because they had his activity documented. And now he's someone that they can put into, you know, a titular position of power because they can trust him.
Yeah. And then there's, you know, the whole thing how he was paying out, you know, what, like a millions of dollars.
Yeah.
Over the course of several years. And no one questions how a public servant can acquire so much wealth. Right. I mean, that's a whole other issue, but it is how they're paid off. They're paid well for their services. And for some reason or another, he was sacrificed, thrown to the wolves.
But, you know, you never know about these things as to, you know, what they're trying to do. You know, we can look in now through the facts that have produced the Pizzagate scandal. And their portal that we can look at the secret society with, or we can observe, you know, their aspects, but it doesn't give us, you know, an in-depth understanding of them.
Did you ever hear a Sybil Edmonds story regarding this?
No.
She says that what happened, how some of this was exposed, and it goes to blackmail eventually, basically, but that during the Clinton-Lewinsky scandal, Clinton ordered the FBI to engage in illegal wiretapping of various political figures in D.C. to get dirt on them. And then he would leak it to what's his name? The guy who runs Hustler, Larry Flint.
Mm-hmm.
Larry Flint claimed that his private investigators did it. And this is how, you know, what's his name, the Speaker of the House, who succeeded Newt Gingrich, was exposed. And this is how Henry Hyde was exposed, his problems, with affair he had from years before. But yeah. According to Sybil Evans, what happened was during this wiretapping, the FBI started uncovering this human trafficking ring guarding, you know, government officials, politicians, even they were being provided with children. And the FBI told the rank and file agents they were capturing us on film, say, we got, you know, on tape, we got to arrest these SOBs. They said, no, it's a bigger investigation. Hold off. And they became increasingly outraged by the fact that they have to witness these children being victimized and wait for the arrest. You know, they're basically having to witness a crime and not do anything about it. But that's how some of this leaked out. And instead of it being a subject of a criminal prosecution, investigation and prosecution, it was used as blackmail.
Yeah.
You know, it's currency.
Yeah.
You know, so that's kind of how it operates in D.C. That's one angle that I found interesting to this. She also claimed that Sybil Evans claimed she was talking to an FBI agent who was in charge of doing background operations for members who were appointed to the federal bench. And he told her that it's the clean ones that don't get appointed. It's the dirty ones that get appointed because then you can work with them.
Yeah. The interesting thing to me is that this is really an example of the power of the citizen researcher and of the new media. And that's why, you know, it's funny, I got the email from you. It came into my box that, you know, we would have a talk about this at exactly the moment I was writing one back to you to say, gee, I'd like to have the talk with you about this. Because I was hoping to contribute to basically the internet presence of the scandal. I mean, you can see that Google is suppressing it. In my opinion, Reddit actually just got rid of the thread. But on Vote, there is the entire thread, and I would hope that everyone who listens to this would attend that site. There is extraordinary research going on.
Yeah, Reddit cut off the feed, right?
They cut off the feed. They got rid of it. They just banned the whole thread. They took it down.
Yeah, from what I understand, they host a pro-pedophile thread.
I didn't know that. I mean, it's just tragic. But the thing is that...
And well, they called it a witch hunt.
Yeah.
So that's ironic because
I know
Mina Abramovich is a witch.
Yeah, exactly. It is a witch hunt.
So, Professor Witch.
But
sometimes
the thing is that so this is very interesting to me. And what's happening, I think, could be, you know, a really watershed event. The new media is replacing the old media. You can see the attempts by the New York Times and CNN and Reddit and Twitter to suppress it. But the internet has provided a platform where researchers can be in communication. And right now where that's really going on is this website called Vote, V-O-A-T, and there are hundreds and hundreds of pieces of research. Many are inaccurate, and as if you watch, you'll see the inaccurate ones will get shot down because there is participation by the citizen researcher.
Yeah, so which is the only way you can get around, because you can't trust the gatekeepers.
Exactly. Well, you know that the gatekeepers are corrupt.
Yeah.
It's just all there is to it. And so what we have, though, now is we have a way where we can communicate our own analysis. We can communicate evidence and facts, and we can start to make sense of reality. And so that's why what I believe is that that – and my hope is that Pizzagate will simply never die. It will just become a place where the citizen researcher will come, and we will not only get to the bottom of this, but we will perfect, all of us together, a way that we can, you know, find the truth out about the political leaders and about their activity. You see, this is a way that we can use logic and facts in communication with one another. You see, when you have thousands of such researchers operating together, they become a mighty force for truth. It's very hard to fool them. And the analysis they put out then becomes very powerful. You can't just show up at vote and say, and then try to, you know, give the like a piece of sophistry saying, well, this is all nonsense. I mean, you'll see what'll happen. You'll be ripped apart because there are so many specialists now. And the whole congregation of people of researchers will weigh in. And basically, inaccuracy cannot stand, you see. Mm-hmm. So that we could really be witnessing something very amazing here. I don't know how long the vote thread will stay up. I'm hoping it will never be taken down. But in any event, this is what has to happen, Tim, is, you know, the mainstream media is the propaganda device for the oligarchs. Pizzagate certainly should raise concerns about, you know, not just, you know, the what the oligarchs hide from us in terms of their theology and political perspective. But Tim, I mean, we have to be afraid for our children. We have to, you know, I've been listening to some Christian stations and websites that have weighed in now. And a lot of them have crossed the line. In other words, they have basically accepted the fact that Pizzagate is correct and that there is a pedophile ring inside our political class. It is attracted to Luciferian rituals, and that children are at risk. And you see, when you start combining, you know, alt media logic and Christian congregations, you know, organize them against the secret society that rules a political structure, suddenly it isn't such an unfair battle anymore. Mm-hmm. Suddenly the citizen has a chance. You know?
Yeah, they'll try to come out and debunk it and call it fake. I mean, what they had was it the False Memory Foundation? It was Jolly West was part of it. And then they have the movies like HBO about the Big Martin scandal where they play it off as a, you know, it's like satanic panic, crazy accusations. It turns out the people that actually wrote the screenplay were involved in child pornography, and you know.
Yeah, right. I mean, I don't think they see the internet has enabled the citizen to become more powerful in terms of understanding reality. Mm-hmm. I don't think they could pull off the JFK assassination today. I think it wouldn't have lasted a half hour. There would have been people, specialists in, you know, in ballistics, specialists in sound. They would have had recordings. There would have been the iPhone. There would have been like analysis of the movement. You know, there would have been an understanding of where the bullets came from almost immediately. You couldn't pull off something like this. And I don't even think 911 could get pulled off now. I think if they tried that exact phenomena and they had, you know, all of the media presence, you know, to try to indoctrinate people into what they wanted them to believe about it, I don't think it would last for half an hour. Mm-hmm. There'd be too many specialists that would step up, and Building 7's collapse would be videotaped and would be on tens of millions of people's iPhones. They would have been looking at it. I mean, there would have been a revolution, in my opinion, immediately. So this is, when we look at this Pizzagate business, you know, I'm an optimist, and I would like to believe that what we're looking at, you know, beyond this terrible situation with children that's being exposed, is we're actually looking at the birth of just a process that the citizen can enter into whenever he or she wishes to in order to get a better understanding of what's real and what isn't.
Yeah, but bothers me if nothing is done about this, or once again society is just degraded even further. There's a pertinent observation that I've talked to a few people about this, about like the Clinton Lewinsky scandal, how sort of the psyop behind that scandal Well, one thing is, it looks like it was a diversion, and it was sort of scripted. If you look at, if you watch Wag the Dog,
yeah,
which to the T predicts, you know, even a photograph that, you know, with the president in that movie there is hugging a girl with a beret on.
Yeah, I know. And, that was predictive programming.
I mean, well, then it comes out, but it's sort of a revelation of the method type thing here, and I think it was Michael Hoffman in his book Secret Societies and Psychological Warfare. Almost wrote it up as sort of a British intelligence perspective, and what this does is, and this is what I wrote. He said this demonstrates one of our simpler methods. This is, I guess, spoken from the standpoint of the secret society. This demonstrates one of our simpler methods. Realizing that our activities will sooner or later come to light, we structure our activities so that as conspiracy researchers unravel them, they will release information in such a way that it mirrors our initiatory procedure. In this way, the more we are investigated, the more masses of people are psychologically processed by the people who seek to expose us. The meme that constitutes our structure is then successfully mimicked within the consciousness of those who investigate us. Success can then be measured precisely to the extent that our work is exposed. And a good example of that would be the Clinton Lewinsky scandal, where you had the Star Report and all its excruciating detail because of Clinton's word games and dissembling. There was open talk about fellatio, what sex was, and all that. It was in the media all over the place, and pretty soon it was being openly discussed even in junior high schools. And researchers have said that there was a significant increase in, like, middle schoolers engaging in such activity after that scandal broke.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that insight that they do use the scandals and design them, basically.
Yes.
To have the, you know, a psychological impact, you know, on the citizenry. They're trying to take us into a more and more controlled, more and more debased place. I think with Pizzagate, if it's one of their operations, the way to understand it would be that basically they want to normalize pedophilia. They want to normalize, and I think they also want to normalize their rituals. So you have on one level when you have performance art, you know, Marina Abramovich has the spirit cooking where she, has blood, uses it to write crazy things on the wall. But this is seen as art. It's presented as art.
Mm-hmm.
Now we actually go a step, you know, further, and now we see that, wait a second, it's not just art. There's also ritual, but we've been prepared for it, you know, by the fact that it was first presented to us as art. So now when you learn that the Podestas are actually having the ritual spirit cooking event go on, you're not going to basically have a conniption because, you know, you're aware of it and it's just like, well, it's, you know, so what?
You've seen it in art, yeah.
Yeah, and so now with with Pizzagate, then you've got, you know, this can be a way. They could have carefully crafted the scandal in a way that pedophilic art and photos now will get into the mainstream, right?
Well, I mean, look what they've done with music videos and even, you know, kids' fashion, particularly for girls, because girls are much easier, you know, they're much more easy to objectify and sexualize because of the feminine form.
Yeah.
And the nature of sex and the difference between male and female. Obviously, you can stimulate the males with visual more than you do the female, but they're an easier target, unfortunately. But the whole society has been geared towards the sexualization of children, going back with the introduction of sexual education in the 1960s and 70s. You and Jan have talked about Life magazine and its promotion of psychedelic drugs with Gordon Wass in the May 1957?
Yeah, in 1957,
Life magazine.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is the subproject 58 of MK Ultra. It's sort of conditioning for the use of drugs. This is I guess, adumbrating the cultural evolution of the 60s and the Summer of Love. But it's an interesting point that Life magazine in 1971 had an article had on its cover high school pregnancy, the problem. You know, same with Time magazine. You know, children having children was one of the covers. So they're under the guise of addressing their problem, they're normalizing it.
Exactly.
At the same time, introducing the programs that are going to sexualize the kids, starting with sexual education, right? Because obviously people in the 50s didn't know to have sex, despite the fact there was a baby boom. And then you also have the AIDS scare, which was a psyop, and using that under the cover of a public health measure to introduce even more explicit sexual education or instruction to adolescents.
Well, and also they were trying to promote homosexuality.
Apparently the Homosexual Act, which allegedly spread this virus, which is problematic. They're going to promote the very behavior that spreads the disease under the idea of age education.
Right. I mean, that was again, that those kinds of operations, have been levied against us for over 100 years. I mean, if you read Bernays, he's very explicit about how they can, a small group of oligarchs can control population, control the citizenry. Well, so when you look back at, the AIDS media explosion, when you look back at the covering of the teenage pregnancies, when you just look back at the sexualization, the horror of Babylon sexualization, that ends up with Miley Cyrus, just absolute depravity.
And we've talked about, of course, the promotion of Alfred Kinsey, right?
Sure. And that's exactly right. And then of course, Kinsey, being kind of, a plug in all of this, a step, creating this bogus science that they could use to basically then, do stories about homosexuality as a way to promote the activity.
Sigmund Freud.
I want to make sure that, look, I don't want to come out in opposition to homosexuals. My point is that these kinds of sexual preferences can be weaponized. And this is what has happened. This is why the homosexual culture, which was exposed during the AIDS epidemic, so-called, was given to the public, is that this was a weaponization of a sexual preference that would basically create what they saw was a destruction of the family. They had a lot of reasons to want to get rid of the family, all of them malicious. And this is what was going on. And so now, people will defend homosexuality on theoretical grounds without actually being aware of the practical weaponization, that has taken place,
And of course, we've had talks regarding this war that was declared on the Christian majority in the United States by the American Jewish Committee and MKUltra through the publication of The Authoritarian Personality, which pretty much was an open declaration of war on decent society.
Yeah, I mean, when you get to the conclusion of The Authoritarian Personality, Adorno and all, producing this thing, we've covered this in one of our other shows. You have just a really clear declaration of the use of these psychological techniques on a mass scale against Christian culture. I mean, that you can put a bow on the language, but no clear reader of the words would come up with any other understanding. Now that group then goes on to that document, according to rumor, into the Macy Conference, which then becomes MKUltra. Nevitt Stanford, one of the individuals who signed on to the document, who's creating the science, then works for the SRI and writes the foreword to a book promoting psychedelic drugs. So, you don't have to go to like any kind of tangential speculation. It's just right in front of you that the counterculture, the peace, love, sex, drugs, rock and roll. This was the Eros that the American Jewish Committee psychologists came up with, basically to try to influence, Christian culture. I mean, they're just, I don't know what to say, Tim. I mean, it's the same people. The words are clear. It just amazes me that these facts aren't more often discussed. But when you come to Pizzagate, it's just a context. You need to try to look at the actual context of how our culture has changed from 1950 to today, And when you see, you know, Comet Pizza, when you look at the art, when you look at Majestic Ape, the performing there and advocating pedophilia, when you look at Elefante's photo collection, which in any sane society would be the grounds to create an arrest. And let me just back up for a second. You know, the reason why child pornography is a crime is not just because it involves the use of a child in a, you know, an act that is against their will. It's also child pornography is discouraged in a sane society because it promotes the activity. You see, it promotes the activity. We are all made to some extent of the same parts. And so, you know, someone who would otherwise be normal, if you feed him a steady diet of child pornography, could suddenly have the impulse occur as being conditioned into him. So that's why you really want to ban child pornography. So when James Alefantes has pictures of a small girl taped to a table and an adult male standing directly in back of her, I would just, you know, I would ask mothers, you know, is that something that would be okay for your little girl? And the child is about 3 years old. Is that funny? Is that, you know, but moreover, isn't it something that would, you know, create an impulse in someone who is prone to pedophilia, you see?
Yes.
So that's why I think that Elefante should be arrested immediately. And what he should be charged with is the promotion of child endangerment, because his photo collection is just obviously something that will promote the act.
Mm-hmm. Now, have you heard about the connections to the Madeleine McCann
sure.
story? Yeah. The story regarding Sigmund Freud's grandson?
Grandson, yeah, Julian, yeah.
Oh, this is Sir Clement Freud?
Oh, sorry, yeah, Clement, yeah, that's right.
Apparently he's been posthumously exposed as a pedophile, like his office mate Cyril Smith, apparently, too, member of Parliament. Now, he had a villa down there in Portugal that was a third of a mile away from the McCanns, where they were staying at the time. And according to news stories, The Telegraph, he had lunch with the McCanns 2 days after the girl went missing, just reportedly to console them. And the McCanns reportedly said that he made us kept us smiling during a terrible time. And I don't know how you stay smiling during that time, but he's been exposed as a pedophile. And he had lunch with them, so they had lunch with a pedophile when their daughter went
missing. The whole thing is so
strange,
bizarre and strange.
Yeah,
the quote from the wife that Clement kept us smiling is, you know, is troubling, to say the least. You know, there just isn't enough data to, you know, to make a conclusion about.
Well, I mean, is it appropriate to be smiling at all during that time?
No, I mean, no, it's not. And it certainly isn't appropriate to have, you know, Clement Freud, you know, be whining and dining you and putting a smile on your face. And so the speculations that Tony and John were at Clement's house during the time that the child went missing, they are also troubling. I haven't actually seen any real evidence to back up.
Neither have I. Yeah,
the assertion, but I've seen the assertion. I just don't know why they make it. I don't know what the evidence is. They have those pictures of the potential, you know, abductors, and they are just spot on representation of Tony and John Podesta.
Yeah, that's strange. That's almost too convenient.
Yes, you know, it's just, you see, again, it's like when you get into this, what these people are really up to, you know, you have to wonder about the how they're conditioning us. So the whole thing, you know, again, it's, we have to be aware that they are very sophisticated in terms of psychological control. And you have to, when you see any data that comes through the media, you know, like the Podesta, abductors' photos, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have to wonder if there's some kind of programming that's going on, that the oligarchs are, in a way, you know, manipulating you. But again, you know, when you get back to the citizen researcher, so many of them are aware of this problem and are studying it and can support one another. I do think that this the ability to gaslight, you know, the ability to just make a person either see a completely fake reality or make them doubt their own senses, I think it's very difficult to do when you're against a community of researchers. Very hard to do, because they support one another, and they can so easily, when you combine this many minds, they just contain so many data points that if someone comes up with you know, something that's fake, the likelihood that there's going to be someone in the crowd that will come forward and go, I know the truth about this, and here it is, and then give a citation. Well, you know, it's not perfect, but it's certainly the best hope we've had since, the Civil War.
Yeah.
So we've really got to, you know, do everything we can to get the citizen to start using the internet as a tool to organize, you know, themselves, so they can think more clearly and get better data. And that's why I hope everyone participates in the Pizzagate analysis. You know, this is a great time if you've kind of been lurking in the background of the internet. You know, this is a great time to just jump in and start reviewing the evidence and the arguments and the analysis that people are putting out on Vote concerning Pizzagate, and then come forward with your own opinion, right? Put it out and just start engaging. This is how we're going to turn things around. This is really one of the just critical moments, you know, to let's use the internet to find a truth which isn't, which is our own, and not, you know, just a program that's being put into our mind.
Yeah. Now, one thing is, since we are investigating what we would call the actions or the intrigues of a secret society, is that we're not going to have certainty. There's going to be speculation.
We're entitled to, right. We know that the secret society exists, so you can prove it in so many ways. Because it is successful. I mean, just as an example, I was asked, well, you know, what would you say to people who claim that, you can't have a conspiracy like this? It's too vast. The government could never, you know, have something like this. And I just said, look, the darkest secret we ever had was the atomic bomb. 40,000 people worked on it for 5 years. The first thing the American public knew about is when it blew up, right? It was Hiroshima. So you can keep secrets. And then beyond that, the bomb was developed by the Bohemian Grove. Well, what are the oaths that are taken or were, you know, I mean, now I think the organization is changing, but at that time, it was totally secret. What were the oaths that people were taking? What are the oaths of Skull and Bones? What are the oaths of high-level Freemasonry? The organizations that we can see that have power, Skull and Bones, for example, look at all the presidents and media powerful individuals that have come out of it. But what are the oaths it takes? When Russert asked Kerry and Bush, when they were having the presidential race, what were the oaths that they each took when they were members of Skull and Bones? They just both blew them off. And we aren't going to tell you. So this shows you that the secret societies exist. They keep their secrets to themselves. But that means, Tim, that we are justified in speculation. If they are going to keep their theology and their political perspective secret, then we are justified in using logic and speculation to try to expose them. And when someone says, oh my gosh, you know, you're slandering someone, or look, no slander is going on. this is justified speculation, because the societies will not tell us what their theology and their political perspective are. So we now have to go after them, and we have to use every tool we have. And when you look at something like this and you think of children being sexually abused and then murdered, because that would be, you know, how the, you know, why one of would be a logical explanation as to, if this is true, why there are no children coming forward and complaining about it, right? So when you're when you look at that conclusion, man, you are just justified in all of the energy, all of the speculation, just everything you can possibly do to get to the bottom of this, because we are really suffering as a people, because the secret society is hidden from us.
And an important point to remember is that if you're looking into this and you're raising questions about Pizzagate or some other scandal or question regarding a conspiracy, and someone labels you a crazy conspiracy theorist, or say that's conspiracy theory, the term conspiracy theory itself was developed by the CIA to marginalize those who are questioning the official narrative of the JFK assassination.
Right.
And they came up with that term, and they had their field offices contact their agents in the press, the Mockingbird media, the bought and paid for media controlled by the intelligence agencies, to start using that, to have it disseminate, so it became part of the public lexicon.
Sure.
My point is, the term conspiracy theory as a term of abuse was itself a product of a known conspiracy.
Exactly. I mean, that's well said. Yeah. I mean, and then notice that you have the expression fake news now.
That's the new conspiracy theory.
They've rebranded this component of mind control. The New York Times did a puff piece on Pizzagate, which basically said it's a disproven conspiracy, and we've asked Elefantes if he's trafficking in children, and he said no, so there it is.
Well, there you go. Nothing to see here.
It was preposterous,
yeah.
But they used the expression fake news six times in the article, which is only a few hundred words. I mean, this is an expression that hadn't even existed 30 days ago, mm-hmm. right? And now suddenly it is the most useful expression in the English language. Well,
but who was more guilty of fake news, the alternative media or the mainstream media?
Well, I mean, exactly right.
Go throughout the history. The history of mainstream media is, you know, intelligence-controlled Mockingbird media, propaganda, psychological warfare. The entire mainstream media that we know today developed out of OSS and OWI during World War II. William Perley, Sarnoff, that crowd.
Yep.
They all worked for psychological warfare offices. They're meant to, you know, maintain public morale or disinformation or
sure. Or Herbert Marcuse, you know.
Yeah.
Ghost and Civilization, you know, which is supposedly an authentic piece of anthropologic research, comes right out of, you know, he's an OSS guy, but his whole Frankfurt School world, you know, was developing the authoritarian personality, which was asking for Eros to be used as propaganda against the population,
yes.
Which then became the book Eros and Civilization. I mean, it's just ludicrous, right?
Well, what was it, fake news when virtually every newspaper in the country reported that the Japanese had waged a surprise attack on Pearl Harbor on December 7th? That's coming up on anniversary. That was, we know now that the Roosevelt administration was fully aware when they had provoked it and they were tracking it. Was it fake news when the New York Times reported the Gulf of Tonkin incident?
Right.
You know, was it fake news when the New York Times and Judith Miller reported weapons of mass destruction to facilitate the Gulf War? Was it fake news when CNN had they were staging fake Scud missile attacks?
Yeah.
What about Amber Lyon? Remember her CNN talking about United Arab Emirate buying stories or CNN?
Yeah, I mean the media is, in my opinion, just 100% compromised. I mean, I just look at it to study it for psychological techniques. You know, I mean, I think it, basically it's just a complete hologram that they put out to dazzle and befuddle the population.
That's what it is. It's like a Hollywood movie. That's how people people should look at the news the same way they look when they watch a movie.
Exactly right. And see, this is why, if you look at reality TV, what they're doing is they're taking the movies, which were a propaganda device, and then they take the people, you know, who were like in the movies.
Yeah.
And then put them into a real world so that you get to see, like a Britney Spears melt down, so you have the, like Disney, the way with, Hannah Montana and mm-hmm. Miley Cyrus, her life becomes the character, and they've been able to take the programming into a dimension where it isn't in a fantasy context. It's the programming, but now they're trying to claim that it's real, so that you completely suspend disbelief and then look at Miley's behavior and think, well, this is how normal people behave. I think they'll act like that.
Yeah. Right? And I've made the point that characters like that, or even characters like Kinsey and Aleister Crowley, Margaret Mead, these are, I've compared them to chemical concentrates. That are poured into the well of society, and it spores the well. And it isn't said that everyone's going to mimic the life of Crowley or even Alfred Kinsey, but or even Freud for that matter. But the damage is done.
Exactly,
because they reflect.
They're lifetime actors, yeah. And they are weaponized anthropology.
Yeah,
they have some purpose for the persona that they're portraying. And if you look at Gordon Wasson. I was listening to, an interview that an individual I know, Robert Forty, did with him. And, Wasson was still, at the end of his life, lying about what his relationship with the CIA was. And so he was maintaining his weaponized personality right to the very end, right? So this is how... this is, a data point that the public needs to defend themselves. They need to understand the lifetime actor that, when you see, Miley Cyrus, you're not really seeing a real person. You're seeing someone who's been weaponized. And I think that when you see, like with Pizzagate, you have to be careful to, when you look at, people like Marina Abramovic, to judge her behavior as potentially simply a weaponized character, that you're not dealing with authentic crackpot, but rather, someone who has a purpose, someone that's trying to take your mind to a more debased place where you're easier to control, where you're more likely to basically accept the rituals that they want to basically take out into the public and be open about. Than you would have before, such a character came into your thought world.
Yes. Yeah. And there's a reason why, like if you watch music and entertainment, and the Disney Channel is good at doing this, is how sometimes subtle, sometimes not so subtle, sexualization of little kids. But even if you watch some of the more campy fare that you see on the Disney Channel, there's a subtle eroticism to this stuff where the kids are by themselves. It's boys and girls, 13, 14 that are not being watched by parents. There's no chaperone. Adults are idiots. There's an inversion there, which right. is a little trick. So that's the whole idea. You have separate kids' channels, right?
Yeah, I mean, and basically, it's just the atomization of the family and of the extended family, because they want to take everyone to an individual psychological condition because that's the easiest to control. Mm-hmm. And of course, without family, without extended family, without ethnic culture. How do you defend yourself against an organized group like the oligarchs? You have no chance as simply as an individual. And so that's why the family was destroyed, was just to make us easier to control. And that's why to fight back, we can't just, sit and stare at our iPhone and learn how to analyze the Pizzagate material. We have to recreate, an ethnic extended family culture. That's where safety is. That's where our ability to defend ourselves and our ability to enjoy life again. Because one of the things that what has happened to us is everyone is so miserable, so isolated. There's so much toxicity in our body. It's you know, basically they're manifesting the Moloch machine that Fritz Lang had envisioned when he created Metropolis, which we'll have to go into it another one of our shows. I'd love to talk to you about that. I just want to say that I've had a thought. The Connecticut Avenue, where Comet Pizza is, and all of these other businesses that researchers are questioning the symbolism of their logos, right? Seeming, they're wondering, is this a ring or a block of pedophilia, right? And it was pointed out that there was this underground tunnel beneath the street that runs from DuPont Circle, basically, all the way to, I believe, to Pennsylvania Avenue. So this is it's an enormous distance. It was an old subway that's been abandoned. And I thought, well, my gosh, if that was done along these Masonic lines that the streets, of Washington, D.C. were set up with originally, they might actually be trying to convert Washington, D.C. into what's the Moloch machine.
Yeah.
Where you have the thinkers living in the light and the people who are going to be sacrificed, taken underground.
Yeah, and D.C. is just replete with all types of Masonic imagery.
Oh, my gosh. These are all, clear warning signs and, things to do is support family, support extended family, support ethnic pride and ethnic relationships, everything that has been taken from us since.
Yeah, it's been marginalized and demonized.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, well, how do you make the country economically strong again? We'll just reverse the laws that brought us to having no manufacturing, right? So you just get rid of NAFTA, get rid of China having the most favored nation trading status, get rid of all of these laws that protect corporations from lawsuits, et cetera, et cetera. Just reverse the laws. The laws have all been bad. They've been created by the oligarchs for our damage. And if you want to help us culturally, just reverse the culture that begin with the point where the cultural Marxists started to have influence and then just reverse everything. Just go backwards to that point in time because that was when our culture was the strongest. And so it's the path is clear. It's just going to be hard to walk.
Yeah, because all these institutions that we've been taught to revere or respect are corrupted.
Yeah, totally. They're corrupt. They're weaponized. They're all actually working against us. When you look at like Disney, you brought that up. I mean, Disney. I don't know if you've ever seen any of those. They show that there are people, researchers have gone in, looked at the cartoons, and this goes back into the 1950s, and they show that there was subliminal sexual manifestations in cartoons. So that children were watching these things, and if you've seen the, how people have found them, they're very very clear, So you can see that Disney was using basically NLP on little kids in the 50s. At the same time, the Gordon Wasson Life magazine article came out with the neurolinguistic programming.
Yeah.
So they're
preparing.
This is what's been this is what we've been fighting against.
And I think you said it best. You said when you're watching the media, watching Hollywood, it's not a cesspool. You said it's a weapon.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. It's not a cesspool. Believe me, if it was a cesspool, we'd be in great shape. It is a very very highly designed and precise weapon, and it's meant to atomize families. Yeah. Atomized sexuality, it just tears everything apart that would be something that the oligarchs might have a hard time controlling. So even heterosexual connection has to be separated. Our culture is in a grim place. Pizzagate has come now, and hopefully this is a moment that. We can organize ourselves. We can make the right kind of understandings come from this event, right? Kind of organizations get started and start making it make things better. You know, let's do it.
Yep. Well, listen, Joe, thanks for coming back on the show. It's great.
Hey, Tim, so always so good to hear your voice. You have the best voice in the internet, in my opinion.
Oh. Well, I dispute.
I just
that,
love to listen to it. I like listening to your shows. I don't listen to the ones I do because I can't stand listening to myself, but I really like listening to your shows, and I'm just, you know, you're doing a great job.
Thanks.
This is what needs to happen. So
I like your podcast too. So
do what I can, brother.
It's all very interesting. Yours and Secret Society and the Unspun episodes
go to CaesarsMessiah.com. I have for the first time to have a donate button. I've been wondering about whether or not it's a good idea, but you know, a lot of people have actually, you know, they say that they just felt bad because they couldn't, you know, send me some small amount. They were supporting the work. And I said, okay, look, always happy to have money. Here's my donate button. I put it at CaesarsMessiah.com. And if you have questions about any of this stuff, please post them there. I'm happy to talk about it.
Okay, yeah, CaesarsMessiah.com. You have the Secret Society Revealed, which is on Friday.
It's on Friday, 9 o'clock, Revolution Radio. And then Unspun on Tuesday at 5 o'clock. It's live on CCN. It's Conscious Creative Network. It's a network out of Europe, actually.
Okay.
And Jan and I have that show, which I'd like to have you actually on our show at some time.
We'll
arrange that. I'd love to have a chance to talk to you, and I could ask you the questions.
turn the tables on.
Yeah, there you go. All right, brother. Well, good luck. Thank you for having me.
Thanks a lot. And listen, happy holidays and happy
you
New
too.
Year.
Yeah, the very best to you, Tim.
Take it easy. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.